You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
.08 on the Tuesday. Mike McNamara with you. All Marine Radio spanning the continent. Joining me from Texas, as he does, is the gunner, Mike Musselman. Mike, what's up? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
Nothing. And then from the great state of Montana, Rob Schwartz, otherwise known as Montana Man, joins us. Do you enjoy being called Montana Man now? It's kind of a rugged name.
Yeah, no, it's got its attributes, I think.
So you're okay with it?
Yeah, no, I'm not bucking it.
All right. So, I mean, that's not bad. It's not like it's not as cool as the gunner or anything like that, but, you know, we all have our crosses. We all have our crosses to bear.
Well, it took him 30 years to get there. It only took me a few to get to Montana.
True. True. Mike, what have you been doing? How you been?
I've been doing good. Lots of watching. Today was the first day I actually scrolled through and saw some news.
Oh, really? What'd you think?
I don't know. I'm kind of impressed.
Groundhog Day?
No, they were talking about North Korea, what to do with North Korea.
Hello. I know, but did you come out of your hole, take a look at it, and then decide you were going back in the hole? How did, what'd you think?
Yeah, I just went, I was going through the channels, I stopped, I listened to it for like 10 seconds, and then I continued on.
What do you mean there's a delay? Oh, you're listening on the internet.
Yeah, he's
a rookie.
This is going to be new for him. This is all technology. This is kind of like wizardry and, you know.
So, Rob.
I can hear my voice.
Are you still there?
Yeah. No, I was telling my brother-in-law. He's like, turn it up. And I said, I can't. There's a delay, and it fucks with me.
There you go. You'll fall out of your chair if you try to do that. You try to talk, and then you hear yourself like a second and a half later. You're like,
Yeah.
You quit paying attention to what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, you can't do it. It's impossible. It's totally distracting. All right, so the big news today, or the big news over the weekend really, is Rob's surgery. So, Rob, tell us how it went. You went and had surgery, and everybody wants to know about it.
Yeah, no, we went in and had a mass taken off my kidney. And it all stemmed from Gunner getting his gallbladder out. I was like, oh, God, I've been having this heartburn thing, too. Man, maybe I'll have somebody look at that. And so they did an ultrasound, the whole abdominal deal. Looking at the gallbladder, they take measurements, check function, and they came back and said, hey, your gallbladder's great, but you got this thing growing on your kidney. And I said, well, that's not good. And they said, no, it looks pretty bad, but it's small. So, there's not it's not a big deal now. 10 years from now, it probably would have been a life-changing event. But, they give you 3 or 4 options of, we can sit here and stare at it for a year. We can go in there and take a biopsy. And I said, dude, here's my pocket.
Yeah,
I said, here's my pocket knife, man. We can do this right now.
Everybody is a tough guy now.
Yeah, no, I wanted it out, and then it was.
By the way, you're welcome for me saving your life.
Yeah, no, it's all gonna save my life.
Saved your life.
It's just another day in my life. It happened.
Hey, Rob, that means you own Gunner for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
If he saves your life, that means you got to,
Yeah, I got to make sure his kids go to college,
exactly.
Get jobs, and all that.
Exactly. It's not a good deal, man. That's just some advice for everybody. When somebody comes running to save your life, wave them away. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good, man. Go about your business. Stay away from the light. Make them go.
I got my
away.
Own kids to put through school. Freaking beat it.
Yeah. Then you owe them forever.
Yeah, and that's a trick by guys who are looking to put their kids through school, like looking to save somebody. If I save him, You got to put my kids through college, so yeah.
One less thing I got to worry about.
Yeah, too bad for you. So, so you have it done, and you know what's really crazy now about surgery and things is how you get, you know, how they get you out of the hospital pretty quick. How long was it for you before you got out of the hospital?
I went in at 5:30 on Wednesday morning, and I was out by Thursday.
Wow.
Probably around 2-ish. But the surgeon was, she's like, you know, you're good. You've checked all the wickets, and, you know, you've walked, you feed, you've done everything you need to do. But she's like, are you freaking lying to me about pain? And I'm like, no, I'm telling you. You know, if I thought I needed to stay, I'll stay, but this place sucks because, you know, they got IVs in you. They got a bag hanging off of you to check drainage. And it's like, and then they say, well, you know, if you need to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. And I'm like, well, I got all this crap strapped to me. So how does that work? And they just kind of like figure it out. And of course, you got no ab muscles because I've got 7 holes in there. And just trying to get out of bed, you're wallowing around like a daggone walrus trying to find a spot that doesn't hurt. So I was like, you know, I just want this stuff off me and get out of here. So no, it wasn't bad. And the surgeon was, I got pretty lucky, found a good one. She was using a robot, and that's kind of why we picked her, so there'd be less recovery time. And it all came out good, but it hurt a freaking whole hell of a lot more than I thought it would when she was done.
Yeah, they cut, that's the laparoscopy, so when you got those little holes, like I said, I had 5 for my gallbladder, but it's nice because the recovery's quick, but it hurts, man, because they cut through that abdomen.
Yeah, in a bunch of different places.
Yeah.
And she had to cut a couple extra ones because there was stuff getting in the way, and she couldn't get to what she needed to get to, so she put a couple bonus holes in there. I was like, hey, I've counted these things up, and you said 5. There's 7.
Hold on, let me read you this email. All right. When the hell did this turn into all old dude talking about our time in the hospital radio? Are you kidding me? You guys used to be moderately entertaining. Now all I hear about is everybody's medical procedures.
Hey, it's that time in life.
It's just a phase.
It's just it's a phase on the way to the cemetery?
No, yeah, exactly. Just a phase. Everybody goes through it. Now we're good for a few more years.
It's just a phase on the way to the cemetery. Everybody goes through it, and then you're like, yeah, there's nothing we could do for you. All right?
Well,
I'm out, boys.
But if you pay attention, we're giving you tips.
Oh, really?
We're giving you.
I didn't know that. I thought we were just hanging out.
There's tips involved in there.
There's tips involved in that. All right. Well, you know, hey, we love tips.
Go get yourself checked out.
Yeah, think and about it. I mean, hell, I was just listening one day to Gunner ramble on about his heartburn problems, and I'm in the hospital getting the thing removed.
Yeah, see? Saved his life.
There's important shit going on here.
It's not as simple as a diagnostic. They can plug in a computer in a car, and they can figure out what's wrong anywhere in the car. They don't do that with you. If they can't give you a vial of blood, and then you go in, and they tap your knee, and look in, and make you say, ah, and then they walk around, and they're like, okay, so what's wrong with me? They don't know. They got to go in there and look around, probe, check things out, take different films, and then, you know, be prepared for the answer, man.
Well, just so everybody knows, if it doesn't scare the shit out of you when Gunner starts explaining medicine to you, it ought to, okay? when the Gunner starts talking about diagnostics and hooking you up like a car, and that's called breaking it down Barney style for everybody. So bottom line, Mike, is what? Go get checked?
Go get checked.
Yeah, when you're like 47, 50, I mean, not a bad. I mean,
go
shit starts growing. Check. It's not only hair in your ears. I mean, shit starts growing other places too.
My son yelled at me like 6 months ago. He's like, "What is going on with your ears?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Like, what's wrong with them?" He's like, "Good God, you look like an idiot." And I said, "Why?"
I got a planter sitting in there.
He said, "Well, don't you shave him?" I said, "Like, I don't even see him. How the hell would I shave him?" He's like, "Do you have an idiot for a barber?" I said, well, that may be true. That may be true.
Get the Turkish barber and have put flame through
you. The flame. Rob, did you ever get the flame?
Negative.
Ooh. Why? Were you afraid of it, or was it not offered to you?
I don't think it was offered.
It was at the haircut place right there on Camp Palooza, right across from the Chow Hall.
Yeah, I was at El Asad. I was in Tikrit. I was in... where the hell else was the freaking task force at? I was in one other spot. Damn.
Balad.
Yeah, Balad. No, we didn't have it.
I know that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, you keep track.
I used to get in trouble from those guys. I called them ass clowns one night. I called them ass clowns, and the guy forwarded my email to some admiral that you probably worked for.
Yeah.
And he called me up, and he said, Mike would have loved this. Why'd you write that my guys were ass clowns? Because they were acting like ass clowns, sir.
Because they were acting like clowns and they looked like asses, thus the name ass clown.
And he says to me, and he said, well, Major, let me tell you something. You ought to be careful what you put in email. I said, hey, sir, look, I regret that you're looking at that email, but you and I both know that's a samurai violation. What your guys did was wrong. That's why I told them they weren't
Bushido.
Coming. Yeah.
Samurai.
Bushido. And, but Bushido is the code of the samurai, isn't it? Or no? Do I have that screwed up? Okay, so
we got the drift.
All right, gonna get in, trying to footnote me in mid sentence. Nice. I said you know that's a samurai violation. And he said,
here we go.
And he said, well, that might be true, but you really need, that's why you need to be careful what you're putting in email. And I said, hey sir, look, I've done this for going on 5 months with everybody from Delta to all the SEAL teams, and they come in here looking for Zarqawi every night. This is what we require. Everybody else gives it. They wanted to land in 3-5's battle space. They didn't want to tell me where they were going to land. They wanted to give me like a 4-grid square and just tell me that everything would work out. And I said, that's not the way we do it. That's not the way none of your guys do it. And then he said, oh, okay, I didn't know that. And he said, okay, well, Major, let me tell you something. You need to be... I'm like, yes, sir. Sorry about that.
That was the night we did the... I was telling you the story. That
ass clown.
Ass hat. The ass hat landed in Ferris. And then they went looking for the guy. And we did the Lance Corporal did the laser with circle in the door. And, you know, hey, right here, clown.
Yeah. Mike and his guys are like... a block away staring at the building. And we say, hey, why don't we just have 3-5 go yoke them up? That's all right. We've already got it scheduled. We're going to hit. We're
already
hit.
There.
And
we had tea with them later that day.
They don't, hey, your guys don't have what we have relative to sensitive side exploitation. That was always their card.
Which is true.
Then give it to us.
Oh, now you're a special forces guy.
Well, no, it's true. I mean,
no,
they do SSE right.
No, you know what they have? They have a sea bag, and they throw everything in it. You never carried sea bags. Yeah, that's, you're right.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
How it starts, yeah.
We just never carried around sea bags with us on our raids.
But where they take that, stuff and the manpower and equipment they had behind it.
We could
do that,
call a helicopter and have them come pick it
yeah.
up.
Yeah, have you ever heard of a helicopter, Montana man, or do they not have those up there anymore? Okay, so let me give you a better way. So Mike and his boys walk down the block, yoke these idiots up, throw some stuff in a sea bag, and then when the sun comes up, or even that night, land at what was that firm base called down there, Mike, outside of Ferris?
Camp Smitty.
Camp Smitty. Land there. Here, we'll hand you the bag, for God's sake. You don't have to blow another hole in the wall. You
piss everybody off.
This thing was like a walled community. People would blow holes in the wall all the time. You're like, they got to get there.
We had a guard, another 6 men to guard that hole.
And hey.
Thanks, assholes.
The Ferris, they had to get their Ferris merit badge. Like,
Ferris was a labor camp built by the Iraqis. So it was a walled community, had these big high rise, you know, some cases I went up to like 10 floors, looked like condominiums. And it was it was like a walled, everything was in there. There was a grocery store, there was a gymnasium, there was an auditorium, and I think it was for like Koreans or something. They brought Koreans in to work on something somewhere in that area. And that was like their housing area.
Right.
And then they, after they got done, they left, and then the Iraqis did it. But it was a walled compound. It had one way in, one way out. And then every time the Special Forces guys wanted to come in, because there was Al-Zarqawi maybe was having a tea in Ferris, they blow a hole in the wall, somewhere in the wall. And then the next morning, we got to guard that hole in the wall until we get HESCO up. And then, I mean, it's just, what a bunch. Yeah. And that night, because they landed and they went left. And we're like, oh, this whole, you know, we're on the rooftop watching these guys do night vision, like whispering, like, hey, idiot, it's to the other way, it's to your right. And they go left. So then they disappear for a while. And then they come back, they huddle around, they talk about it. And then they go left again. And you're like, oh. So we're watching this, and you're like, we're crying out loud, man. It's, you know, it's like 36 steps from the LZ. Where you landed, 36 steps to the right. Go up the stairs and knock on the third door on the right. We know this guy. Like I said, we had tea with him that day.
Oh, my God.
And it was just like this. It looked like a Saturday Night Live skit. It really did. And then all of a sudden, on another rooftop, some Marine from 3-5 is getting sick and tired of it. Lance Corporal takes his pest out, turns the visible laser or the IR laser on, and was circling the door, like drawing a line with the laser to where the Special Forces guys were, and then going up the stairs and then circle the door, going back and forth and repeating this. And then they went and did it. They broke the door, and then they narked on. They got this feeling for it.
No, somebody, here's an email. Is this true, or are you guys making this up?
No, it's true.
It's true. No, and this is just one night. This went on night after night after night.
And this went on, yeah, pick an area.
Yeah, pick one. And then intermix with this, Mike's ride up the Euphrates, okay? And Mike, there you have Mike's deployment with 3-5 in 2006.
Oh, no, there was more.
I know.
There was a lot more, like, crazy weird shit that took place. What the hell is going on?
What is going on? Yeah, that's the war sports fans. So anyway, yeah, and Schwartz is running around being one of those guys, coming in like smelling like aftershave and shit like that. Like, hey man, what's going on, guys? Like, oh you're just happy? Like nothing's going on here. What are you doing? What do you want?
Yeah.
Hey,
could
you move?
Stupidity in combat?
Yeah.
Crazy. I remember seeing there was an OPSO, an Army OPSO from the 1st to the 110th, that in his office he had 2 7-foot surfboards on the wall.
Ugh, Jesus Christ.
Like, you're from Pennsylvania. What do you know about surfing? And why did you have surfboards sent to you in Iraq? Are you trying to, like, did you watch too much Apocalypse Now?
That's exactly where I was going.
You know it was. I mean, straight up.
That's exactly what it was. And one of the surfboards was his unit. It had the unit crest on there, and I'm like, oh, my God. Does this guy think he's Colonel Kilgore and travel everywhere with a surfboard, thinking that he's going to surf the Euphrates or Tigris River?
Was that his name, Kilgore?
Colonel Kilgore.
That was the guy up river.
That was Kurtz.
Oh, what was Duvall's name?
I thought it was Colonel Kilgore. Colonel?
Kilgore?
Kilgore. Yeah, Colonel Kilgore.
Damn, Colonel, nice pull.
Lieutenant Colonel Bill Kilgore.
Is that right? Are you right about that?
K-I-L-G-O-R-E.
He's Googling. It's got to be right.
Oh, really? Yeah. Google, yeah, that's always right. The words not to live by. The my guest this morning, Mike Musselman and Mr. Montana, Montana Man as he's known here on the program, and we're talking about, I don't know how we got on it for whatever reason, but we got on it talking about Iraq in 2006, Schwartz part of the problem, Mike part of the solution, and me watching the tennis match go back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Here it is.
come in the morning. You know one time we had a hail bomb? For 12 hours when it was all over, I walked up. We didn't find one of them, not one stinking big body. Smell! You know that gasoline smell? A whole hill. Smells like...
Smells like...
Victory. Yeah.
Victory.
Okay, so that's the nature, that's where the surfboard comes from, okay? Right? Because right after that, he looks and, or is it right after that or before that, when Lance comes out of the helo with his board and goes, it looks a little bit too hairy to surf, Colonel. He's like, son, when I say this beach is safe, it's safe. Now you can either get in there and surf or you can go fight. Lance is like, what the hell?
So that's when he calls in that airstrike. Yeah, it's just, he is an intense dude. I'd fight with that guy.
Yeah. No, and that napalm, that was a nice nape shot.
That was filmed in the Philippines.
Yeah.
That movie.
Were you around when they filmed it?
No. Nope. I actually, okay, so Robert Duvall was filming a movie with John Travolta, like a heartbreak movie, and I forget what it was called. Well, anyway.
Robert Duvall and John Travolta?
Yeah, they were in a movie together, and it took place up in Auburn, California. And so I met Robert Duvall. I was on recruiting duty. I went over there with my blues, and I actually got to sit with him for a little bit, and I told him that his character in Colonel Kilgore in Apocalypse Now and the Great Santini were my all-time favorite.
Well, the Great Santini,
did you try to
America's best childhood movie
kiss
ever.
Him,
yeah, well, did you try to kiss him or hold hands?
I was trying to.
Paul Wellstone. Nice.
I can't remember what was the movie with him and Siobhan Travolta, though? It was kind of like
going right now.
Travolta had some disease or...
Nobody watches. Nobody watches those. Like,
it was like a little heart. It was a chick movie.
Who absolutely positively needs that? And besides nobody. Something with meaning. Okay, maybe not.
If anybody's listening knows the name of the movie, tell us.
A Civil Action?
No.
That sounds like it would be it.
Called Civil Action?
Yeah. John Travolta's an attorney, I think.
No. Phenomena. That's it.
Oh, good God.
Oh, yeah.
Paris Sedgwick. Yeah,
science,
Forrest Whitaker.
Science,
they were all up there in Auburn.
Science fiction. Just what we don't. Just what we don't need more of. Talk to me about when. Here's an email. Hey, as long as we're talking stupid today, what is each one of your favorite Robert Duvall movies? Favorite Robert Duvall movie. Okay. Oh, hey, easy man.
Great.
I thought you like were over your anger.
Great Santini, number one, and Apocalypse Now, number two.
Okay. Rob?
Lonesome Dove,
nobody,
by far.
Nobody knows you as Rob.
That's number three.
Montana Man?
Lonesome Dove, by far.
That's number three.
Mine, because of my favorite gunfight scene ever, is...
Oh, God, you sent me that clip. It was a good clip.
It's a movie called Open Range. And it's Robert Duvall and Kevin Costner. I think they're herding, I don't know if they're sheep or something, or cows or something. They're free rangers, and they go through this town, and yeah, it's on. But there's a gunfight, and Robert, and Costner's kind of hiding out in this, I should put it on and narrate it. It would really be lousy on the radio, but I'd like to do it anyway. And because it's my show, I can do stuff like that. But anyway.
It's never stopped you before.
I know. So Costner's like this gunslinger, and he's hiding out, kind of like trying to change his life, right? He's recovering, and then somebody kills one of their guys, a young kid. And, they shoot the young kid, and they kill this other dude. So now they got to go into town to set it right. And then a bunch of stuff happens. But there's a gunfight scene at the end where he and Duvall kind of come walking down the street. Duvall's got a sawed-off shotgun, or the other dude's got a sawed-off shotgun. And Costner is walking. They're walking down the street. It's two of them and four other dudes. And there's this big-looking, mean guy that killed their friend. And Costner says, one of you killed our friends. And the guy says, I did. And I liked it. And Costner just keeps walking at him. He pulls his pistol out, like, and then he shoots him right in the forehead. And you're like, whoa! And that starts this crazy-ass gunfight. And, Mike, you got to watch it. It's a good Western gunfight.
I don't need to. You just explain the whole
thing. No, that's just a story. I'm telling you. Rob, is it a good gunfight?
No, it is. I had never seen it, and then you sent the clip. And yeah. I was, and yeah, you, no, it was up there.
It's good. And if
yeah,
you,
but Lonesome Dove, I'd say, is number three to me. Look, you know, because the only thing that makes it number three is Augustus Gus McCrae dies.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that kind of kills you at the end.
Duvall dies?
Yeah, not even at the end. It's, you know, 80%, maybe.
Yeah. And then Woodrow has to take his body all the way back to Texas.
One last adventure, Woodrow. I'm giving you one last adventure.
Yeah.
That was his dying wish, take him back to Lonesome Dove.
Yep. And Clara, she's... Get by the ranch, and Claire's begging for him. Bury him right next to my husband, next to my boy. Bury him. Woodrow, don't do this foolish thing.
Oh, my God. My guests today are
But the cast in that movie alone, I mean, the cast.
Danny Glover.
Yeah, Danny Glover. Oh, yeah. Danny Glover gets killed, and that sucks, because he's the go-to guy in that flick for getting anything done. Robert Duvall, Tommy Lee Jones, who are the two women in there? Diane Lane.
Angelica Houston.
Angelica Houston. And then what's his nuts? The freaking dude they hang. They hang their buddy.
What?
For freaking killing some sod, but yeah.
Robert Aldrich.
Yeah.
They hang their friend?
Well, yeah, he got on with a bad crowd, and they killed some sodbusters, man, and burned them.
Yeah.
Lit them on fire.
Yeah,
hung them and then burned them.
But if he's your friend, don't you got to kind of say, hey, man, you got to get out of here.
No, they were technically.
He had the opportunity.
Gus told him.
He said he had the opportunity to leave. He didn't take it, so we got to hang you. Kick the horse, and freaking there he went.
That's why the West was a hard place.
He hung himself, remember? He wouldn't let his friends do it. He kicked his own horse.
Oh, that's right. He did kick his own horse and hung himself after Gus explained to him why they had to hang him. You had the opportunity to leave, and you didn't take it.
No, we got to hang you.
Yep.
The
busting those, killing sodbusters. You know what a
sodbuster
is, right?
Robert Duvall. He is...
Mac doesn't know what a sodbuster is.
What is a sodbuster?
It's a farmer. What they used to call farmers. Yeah.
Anybody that breaks up the soil calls sodbuster.
Well, there's no sod in North Dakota, okay? It's just black dirt, the best farming dirt in the country.
Yeah. Well, they were on their way.
Maybe back in
Montana,
the Dakota. Yeah.
They were in Nebraska at that point.
No.
Around the Ogallala.
Buck just chimed in and said, come on, guys, it was a miniseries. No, Buck, this is a real-life movie about real-life people.
That's right,
even
Buck.
Even though it seems fiction, this is a true story.
You know what? Let's all turn on Buck.
He's not here.
Buck, you need to feel the wrath. If you chime
in... I can't believe Buck would talk bad about Lonesome Dove.
If you chime in and you're wrong, forget about it. Forget about it. All right, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I had a chance to interview a guy yesterday by the name of Pat Horan, gunshot wound to the head. Just an incredible story. So I want to talk about that real quick. So we're gonna take a quick break. Montana Man joins us. He's in rehab right now, and the Gunner joins us, and he watched the news today. So more of this quality program coming up next on a. Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Jackson Brown, Running on Empty. We continue. Joining me, Mike Musselman and Montana Man, man who needs no introduction. And Mike off to volunteer tomorrow, do his civic duty. And Montana Man recovering from a little bit of invasive medical procedure. Traumatic brain injuries. When you try to explain that kind of stuff to people and the fight that guys go through to kind of get their life back, Mike, is there any way that you tend to describe it to people that are interested?
It's complicated, Mac. It's a struggle. First you gotta kind of come to the realization and that you have a problem, that you have an issue, that there's something wrong. and you got to get some help. That's the biggest thing, because you try and fight through it. You're like, you know, that there's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. It's just, that's, I think, the toughest part. If you can identify that, hey, I got a problem, and I got a problem with either memory or, you know, that kind of thing, you'll win the battle. Then it's just a matter of finding the right people and then going out. But I think too many times people just ignore it. They'll get through it. It'll get better. You know, I'll just write things down. I'll do this. And that's, like I said, the hardest part is trying to figure out, you know, what is wrong with me.
Pat Horan, he got shot by an Iraqi soldier, and what they said was was an accident. The round, and Mike, maybe you can explain this. The round hit one of the metal clips on his chin strap that was outside of his helmet, right at the angle, and I guess exploded into his head. It's a Soviet round, that I guess an older round. That makes sense to you or no?
Yeah, the copper jacket from the lead core separated, so I would say it exploded. It just came apart. But some of the copper jacket went into his head.
And so it took him 5 years of rehab.
Oh, yeah. And he's not done.
No, to get to the point where he could go home. And that was that's the point where he could go home. And then after that, he goes home, but he doesn't know how to read. He doesn't know how to write.
Oh, yeah.
He can't drive a car.
I would say that I would put that in a different classification of a traumatic brain injury. That's a penetrating wound. I would say it's easy to diagnose, but you know you got a problem. You got a projectile that entered your brain. You have a problem. What I think the biggest problem is when it comes to TBI are guys that suffered concussive blasts over and over and over and over again. That they're the guys that they don't understand what's going on with them. They can't control their temper, their emotions. They can't remember anything. Things are garbled and jumbled. That's the kind of guys I was talking to at first.
Okay.
Those guys got to first admit that they got something wrong with them. You know, in Pat's case, he knew he had something wrong with him. He had a projectile lodged in his brain. And it's a huge struggle to get where he's at now and then go forward. But he's not done.
Well, here's the other thing, and Rob, hop in here in a second. But the other thing I said, so now what? And his wife's name's Patty. And as is always the case, his wife is an absolute stud. She's the one that took him to all these different places to get rehab so he can do what he does today. I said, so now what? And she said, well, that's what we don't know. Well, you know,
yeah.
Pat's a young man. He was wounded as he's prior enlisted. He's a Mustang. So he's an Army Staff Sergeant and then got wounded as a Army First Lieutenant Striker. He was a Striker Brigade guy in the vicinity of Mosul when he got wounded on his first combat deployment. And so she said, you know, Pat's a young guy. He's got the rest of his life. So now what? It's sobering stuff, and our tribe deals with it all the time. Rob, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, like Gunnar was saying, on that last comment, and I think I flipped the show on about when she was wrapping that up. That was right towards the end that she said that. It was kind of, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, because what is out there? You know, you get him to a point where he's rehabbed and can live, you know, but he still wants a purpose. You know, he still wants a purpose in life, and what's out there to find that purpose that suits him? And she's saying, well, it's not, we don't have it. You know, it's not there now. And that's logically part of the transition is, you know, we got to find this guy a new purpose. He's not done. He doesn't just want to, you know, watch The Simpsons on TV for the rest of his life. You know, he wants to do something. He wants to contribute. What's out there to find him that spot? So that's a great question.
Interesting. I think it's things like All Marine Radio, because they can think and they can talk. And, you know, I don't...
Well, it's much bigger than that.
Well, No, I know. But the motor skills and yeah, what is out there? Tim Maxwell's doing it.
Hey, you go out there because, you know, and I think, okay, so in past case, you didn't defeat a traumatic brain injury. There's a much bigger thing that you've accomplished, and that is adversity. You faced it, you beat it, and you continue on, and you teach other people how to do this. You spread, you give them the blueprints on how to go about and do what you did. And a lot of people don't realize that that's important. And it's not just defeating, not traumatic brain injury, it's anything. It could be cancer. It could be, how do you cope with it? How do you live with it? How do you move on? You know, how do you come to a realization? And it never ends. So it's much bigger than that. And, you know, there's a lot of things that what's next? Get out there. Go talk to people. There's a ton of places that he can go and spread his word. And like I said, give his blueprint.
Online,
share it.
Online.
Don't. Yeah. You patent it. Go out there and share it now.
Yeah, and that might be his thing to do next is, okay, this was my road. I had to travel and help other guys that are on a similar road. And that's a
Turn around.
That's a next logical step, that type of deal. But like Fatty was saying, you know, there's no one out there to facilitate that for him or them, because they sounded like they were, you know, a team in this. So there's no one to say, hey, you can go talk to these people. You know, it's on him to figure that out.
Is
where it is now.
There when she or him fought through this. They did it on their own.
Right. Well, Mike, you didn't expect somebody to
stand up now and say, okay, hey, come this way. Keep fighting. You got this far. You did it.
Right. No, and she will, Mike, if you hear the interview.
Oh, I know. I heard some of it. She's a fighter, and so is he.
Yeah, she flew around the country to different hospitals to evaluate them to see, relative to his specific type of brain injury, which one would be. And, you know, and he was
more beneficial.
Right, and it really cool at the end. He said, you know what? I thank God every day that I'm alive. And he said, and then right after that he said, and I thank God every day that he said, you know, Patty put me back together because, you know, this is all what she did for me. And you know, just, I mean, you hear that, and it's so humbling, right? It's so humbling to hear that.
But I mean, they carved their own path.
Right.
So, you know, you can't expect that something's going to just pop out. You know, it's two things. Turn around, shine the light, brothers to follow that same path that you did it, and teach them how to do it. And then, you know, like we talked about before, and then just have faith that it's going to work out. I mean, you got this far.
Yeah. If anybody, 10 years ago this summer, if anybody would have told you 10 years ago that this was a path that you would go down and you'd be where you're at today, what would you have told them? There's no way. It's too far. It's too hard. There's too many things in the way.
Too many hurdles. Too many obstacles. It's too steep.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
The my guests, as we do kind of a roundtable, are the Gunner down in Texas and Montana Man in of all places. Are you in Montana or in Idaho?
Montana. We're not going back this month to Idaho because I can't work, so we're staying here.
Oh. Well, how about that? Who knew? And you got your brother-in-law there. He's a former Marine, yes?
Yeah, Marine Colonel. He just went outside to do something. I got a whiteboard with a list about 3 foot high.
Oh, that's right. Do you categorize him as an intern?
Can't really. It's kind of family help that's getting paid.
Family help that's getting paid, but not an intern.
Right.
Not an intern. Do you ever have to counsel him and say, do you use?
Oh yeah, lock his body up.
Do you use my pronunciation of Colonel? Can I have a word with you? Colonel?
Was he a colonel or a phone colonel? You know the difference, right?
So what kind of colonel? What was the second one?
A phone colonel.
What's a phone?
You know what a phone colonel is?
No.
It's a lieutenant colonel who answers the phone. Colonel.
Yeah, that used to be a Mike. No, Mike doesn't know. That used to be the fun of becoming a captain aboard a ship.
Because then captain, you'd be addressed as captain.
Oh, and they'd lock their shit up. The Navy, they're slimy ass. They'd lock their shit
there's
right away.
Captains on board this ship.
Hi, this
an 03 captain and an 06 captain. Yeah,
this is Captain McNamara. Oh, sir, how can we help you? I'll tell you how. I need all the Mardet's parking spaces swept right now. Yes, sir. We'll be right on that.
Constantini is the one that I heard first heard that comment. We were talking about something, and someone said, like Colonel Smith. He goes, Colonel Smith called. Is he a phone colonel or a real colonel? And I was dying. Oh, phone colonel. Because sometimes the colonels and lieutenant colonels in Quantico would answer the phone, Colonel Smith. You know, I'm looking for Lieutenant Colonel Smith. Oh, this is him. Oh, sorry. I didn't know you were a phone colonel.
I didn't know it was Halloween today. We're playing charade. Yeah, go around and do that with those of us with bad attitudes and see where that gets you.
Yeah, exactly.
Sworn officers calling themselves Gunner. Yeah, I'm an admin guy. Just call me Gunner. Why would I do that?
Hey, let me tell you what used to be always quality entertainment was when somebody would call a warrant officer Gunner in front of Mike.
In front of any of us.
Rob would say it. Rob would find it. Any infantry officer, if somebody called a warrant officer Gunner in front of an infantry officer, they would do this. Where?
The best part is like when it's in a brief or something where you got to stop. Everything stopped. The train just stop. All right, let's go back to infantry school 101. Gunners have little bursting bombs on collar. This cat doesn't. He's an NBC freak. Let's get it right. All right, let's continue.
But depending on where Mike was in his menstrual cycle. That could either be a really humorous event, or it could be nothing.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me. Yeah, it was like water on a duck's back.
I know.
No, it freaking bugged the shit out of me.
It didn't bother me at all. I used to like it.
I remember
the gunner. Mac, I'm going to kill your ass.
I went to the Red Devils one time, you know, the F-18 squadron to breathe, you know, I was bringing them, like, because they were going to drop some bombs for them. And I was meeting with some of their pilots that were going to actually drop and kind of give them the scheme maneuver, how we're doing this. And I was walking down the hallway there at the squadron, and the plaques, they have, like, their name plaques outside the doors, right, hanging.
Oh.
And I'm looking down, and I see this bomb, and it says, the gunner, you know, in parentheses. And I'm like, holy shit. So I walk in there, and there's like four or five people in there, and there's this warrant officer. And I go, I'm looking around, and they finally see me, and they're like, hey, what can I do for you? And I said, I'm looking for the gunner. And this warrant officer sees me and sees my bomb and is like, oh, hey, man, those guys made that flag for me.
Those guys did it. I just didn't take it down.
Yeah, I'm like, well, here, I got a chair, and I'll help you take it. I can use this outside my office. And then, so, I mean, yeah, I took it. I mean, it was like, okay.
You took it?
Yeah, because the guy...
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I didn't want it. You know, they made it for me. It was here when I got here. And I said, well, shit, I'll take it. And the guy's like, here, let me get a chair. And I pull it out there. And I, just because it's just on the little hooks, and I just want to swing it and take it off. And I'm like, thanks, man, I appreciate it. Hey, you know, look where Captain, you know, such and such is at. I'm looking for him. You know, oh, he's down the hall in the ready room. Okay, thanks, man, take care.
Walking around with a gunner plaque in the wing.
Okay, hold on. This is the best part. And then what'd you do with it?
Oh, I threw it away.
That's just a dick move.
I didn't need it.
Yeah, I didn't need it or want it. I just took it.
I don't need that shit to remind me that I'm a gunner. I didn't have anything on my door.
You know what?
I can't.
And the best part about going anywhere with Mike was that was just like a target of opportunity that you had to, you know, that you had to deal with, right? It was just, it wasn't planned. It just happened, and it was a little detour on wherever the hell you were going.
Hey, I just did shit. I mean, who had the reindeer head on their wall made out of styrofoam? Huh? And why did that end up there? Because I just wanted it.
That came from the Christmas party, I think. And there was a picture of the deputy SJA. Somehow I got a hold of a picture of that frickin' reindeer, the full body reindeer, before it got mounted. Chasing him down the hallway.
Oh my god. Speaking of that, our beloved leader is no longer in CONUS. He's O'Conus, so. Yeah.
Scared me.
Did you just squeal? Is that what that was? What was that noise?
That was my daughter going, huh?
Are you sure?
Whatever,
sounded like you.
She was awful close to the phone.
Exactly. She was... He just fell off, and now he's back on. He's quick. All right. So you're sure that wasn't you?
No, I came around the corner because I had the door closed, and I opened the garage door, and my daughter was standing there. She went, hi.
All right.
I wasn't expecting it.
Okay, rest of the day, what's going on?
Trash day. So trash has got to go out.
Big doings out there.
Yeah, and then it's prep for a meal, cooking ribeye steaks with fresh picked green beans and a rice with mushrooms and type of risotto type.
That sounds like a good deal. The ribeye is the finest steak on the planet.
Yeah, it's the best.
Because of the marbling. It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Montana man, what's your rehab? What kind of rehab are you doing today?
I'm probably going to go check trail cameras because all I got to do is drive in the pickup and walk about 40 yards to check them. And then may have to head to town to pick up some provisions.
Some provisions?
Yeah.
Like your brother-in-law needs some booze, doesn't he? That's what that's code for. I got to get some provisions.
No, it's been a week without a beer, too. This whole surgery thing is... cutting down on the beer consumption, which I told my wife last night, I'm feeling good enough to have a beer. She's like, you know, then I get the frickin' lecture about Copenhagen and beer and healing all that. And I was like, all right, I'll
just
sit and watch
bourbon.
So you never get
the lecture of bourbon.
What's the problem?
It's one syllable, beer. So people like to bring it up. Bourbon, people don't like to say that word.
What's the problem with Copenhagen and beer and healing? Is it bad?
I think it does something to blood vessels, opens them up, something.
Exactly.
The nurse at the hospital, but she tried to give me a lecture and I gave her the freaking hand. Just, I got it. I know what it does. I have the internet.
You listen to them and you wait till they get done and say, are you done with that water bottle? I need it for a spit bottle.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, can you give me a spit bottle? Why did you ring me? I need a spit bottle.
Hold on. I'll read you another funny one. You know, I'm listening, and it is very concerning because you guys are serious when you address issues in this manner.
Which issues?
What issues?
Just what, everything we talked about.
Mostly serious. Spit bottles and healing?
Spit bottles healing? Mike taking a sign and throwing it away?
Yeah.
Right? That's...
Yeah.
Pretty serious,
But here's what you have to understand. That guy deserved that because he didn't deserve the sign, and he had the sign, and so Mike had a moral response. What was Mike going to do, just walk away and not take the sign and throw it away?
Yeah, then I would have been the wuss.
Yeah, then he would have been story. he would have been the coward.
Then that kid would be.
And that wasn't even a dick move. A dick move would have been to just throw it away right in front of the guy. Then it would have been a real dick move. But taking it away, no, that was his moral obligation.
If I would have walked away, turned the other cheek, then that cat would be telling stories about how this gunner came in and he punked him out and he walked away.
Oh my god!
Can't let that happen.
I got a
Gunner, do you got a garden going already down there?
No.
Oh, you said you're getting fresh peas. Store. Oh.
I have a grocery store.
Yeah. When you said fresh, I assume they were, like, fresh.
Yeah, they are. They're picked out of the ground by somebody else and sold at a grocery store.
Fresh to your house from the IGA.
Yes.
All right, I got it.
From HEB.
All right.
Babe.
All right, boys. You know, hey, Schwartz, you're welcome. As long as you're in rehab, let me know. And you can be a part of this interesting segment as long as you're in rehab. So let me know.
Yeah, I'm on light duty for probably another week. So.
All right. Well.
Yeah, I'm available.
All right. All right, boys. Thanks for the visit.
All right, we'll talk to you.
All right.
There you
see you, Gunner.
Montana Man and the Gunner right there. I'll read one more email. Mac, other than the crappy audio from one of those two guys, that was hilarious. random stuff with my friends. Anyway, that'll do it here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. My thanks, in order of appearance, John Ubaldi for coming on. After that, somebody who I'd never had on the program before, but saw his work and liked it, and then called him up and said, "Hey, man, why don't you come on the program?" And he did. Alex Hollings. He's a former Marine sergeant, and currently he's a contributing editor at SOFREP. So he joined us and. Good stuff. Interesting discussion about his career and then what he thinks of journalism. Had a very, very interesting bit. So he'll come back on. We'll continue with that. So, and then as always, let me tell you, those guys are hilarious. They're great guys. My friends are great guys, but they are funny. And if you can imagine. Rolling around Afghanistan, you know, with those guys. And like I said, that's the third deployment I did with Mike. I met Mike in 2004 in Ramadi. And he looked familiar to me. So I think we crossed paths before that. I just couldn't remember when. And then, after that, I saw him in 2006 in Fallujah. And then in 2010, we all go... And I meet Schwartz, and they're just funny guys, man. They're funny guys. Both of them dip. Everybody trying to quit, right? Bar and dip from each other. And but you'd be going someplace with one or the other. When I was kind of tied up to my job, I couldn't really leave what I was doing. But on the occasions that I would, just funny stuff like that. And Mike is famous for, and Schwartz is, we're all the same way. Like, you see something, and you walk right over to it. Hey, what are you doing? What's going on, boys? And they tell you. And just funny. So, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the podcast. You'll get these kind of little pearls of wisdom every day. So, thanks for listening. And again, my thanks to Alex Hollings for coming on today. So, without further ado, on a Tuesday, this program repeats itself. So, whatever you do, do yourself a favor and don't touch that dial. All Marine Radio, tomorrow morning. We're going to talk to one of the guys who got blown up in the Boston Marathon a few years ago. He's now disabled, does the hand thing. And wants to talk about the Boston Marathon. He wrote an article in the Boston Globe, so we'll talk about that. So, his name's Patrick. Forgive me, I forgot his last name. So, don't hate me. On a Tuesday, All Marine Radio. Out.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.